Welcome to the April 20th, 2008 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today is Youth Sunday, with our young people leading worship around the topic, Pass Your Shell. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now, for our worship service.
And the family ministry team is having a called meeting today at 4 o'clock in Adult 3. And Raven has a few announcements.
Did you see the car out front? If you haven't, everybody in the community has, so you need to drive by and see it, because we've been getting interesting comments, and that's exactly what we want. There's a car parked out front that says Sideswiped on it, April 27 through 30 at 6:30. That's a wonderful conversation starter. At work, you can say, did you see that car out on the corner of Polo and Ransom? It's a wonderful way to start the conversation. Invite them to come be part of our Sideswipe Revival services, which begin next Sunday morning here in the sanctuary. Sunday morning we'll be in here. And then for Sunday evening, just like we did last year, we'll move out to the tent and be outside Sunday evening, Monday evening, Tuesday evening, and Wednesday evening. And on Wednesday evening, we'll be announcing next week, but on Wednesday evening, we will have a picnic that the youth will provide like we did last year. It's a fundraiser for youth missions activities, which we were kind of making reference to this morning, but that'll be on Wednesday evening. Every other night, it'll be a bring-your-own picnic, and we'll have tables set up there. There'll be some iced tea, some lemonade, and some water, so you can bring a sack picnic with you. Tables will be out front. You can come, and beginning at 5:30, we'll have time picnic and share food together out under the sunshine, and then we'll begin our services at 6:30 each evening. As we did last year, we're going to have a lot of equipment out there, and we don't want to move it in and out and in and out and in and out every day. So what we're going to do is just leave it set up, and we have people that volunteered last year to be a part of that and just come and sit and just make sure nobody messes with the equipment. Didn't have any problems, but again, we're going to need your help with that this year. So there are these little orange slips of paper in the backs of the pews where the envelopes are. And what I want you to do, if you are willing and have a day or an evening, it's set up like in six-hour shifts. If you have a day or an evening that you could commit to come and sit under the tent, we're going to try to have two adults out there at all times, okay, so you not be there by yourself. But if you would just take this orange slip of paper, write your name and your phone number and what days or nights that you would be available, and we'll have someone from the office call you tomorrow and kind of arrange a schedule. So, and if you don't have any preference, please put that, no preference, and that probably means you'll get that 2 in the morning to 8 o'clock in the morning shift. So just be aware of that, but we do need people for that shift too. So if you could help us with that, thank you very much. These flyers are available. There's 11 by 17 size, the half sheet size, and the full sheet size that are available at the Information Center. Please take those and get those in the hands of people that can put them up and get the publicity out this week. Thank you.
And our last announcement, Gary Elkinson.
Well, Ryan Minster's a tough act to follow. I had Ryan when he was 6 or 7 years old in RAs. Ryan, I never saw this coming, dude, I'm going to tell you. So we actually had our Team I Am work day yesterday, which is what I'm going to talk about here in a second. And Ryan had told me he was going to help. But being the young gentleman that he is, he just had too many conflicts. And instead of not just showing up, he called me Friday night to tell me that he was very sorry, but he wasn't going to be able to help. He didn't tell me what he was going to have to be doing, but now I know. So anyway, time well spent, Ryan, so that's great, dude. I do want to take just a minute to talk about our Team I Am work day yesterday. It was a great day. Yesterday, if you hadn't heard me say this before, was not only our scheduled Team I Am work day, but it was also PMBA emphasis. So all other Baptist churches in the PMBA were supposed to be having a Team I Am work day. How many of them actually did it or not, I don't know, but I think we did enough for 2 or 3 of them. We had a great day. We had our clothing giveaway here. And I don't know how many people we actually cycled through and gave clothes to. I wasn't here, you know, working at that. But feedback I got is that we probably had at least 50 families, I would say. Would that be, you know, so maybe 100 people, 125 people. But I think by any measure it was a success. And any clothes we have left over are going to the rescue mission, I believe. The other jobs that we worked on, we went to a old blind gentleman's mobile home up in Tobaccoville. He's blind. He's confined to a wheelchair. His water heater, I believe it was, had busted some time ago, and the water had gotten under the vinyl and gotten to the subflooring and had rotted it out in a lot of different places. So he had holes, actually, in the floor of his trailer and mobile home. And, you know, he's in a wheelchair trying to navigate around those things. So we sent a team up there that repaired that subflooring and put new vinyl down, and found out in the process that not only did he have a bad water heater, he's also got a bad washing machine. It leaks, it's useless, it's worn out, it's rusted. We're going to get him a new washing machine to put in there, so we're going to take care of that. We also went to the house of a blind couple, and we put in two new entry doors to their home and repaired a third entry door, and we also did some mortar work on their front porch where they were having to step down out of the front door like 12, 13, 14 inches before they hit something. So we put a step in there for them so that that would be a little easier and they wouldn't have to step down so far, and it'll be easier for them to get in and out of the house. They also had a dilapidated old building in their back that they had been, I guess, using for a storage shed, but it was worthless, and they asked us to take that down and haul it to the dump, and we did, and that was a pretty big job. And we went to a couple of other houses of single older ladies and did a lot of cleanup and yard work around their homes, hauled a bunch of stuff to the dump, probably went to the dump four or five times from those places along with the dilapidated buildings. So just did a lot of work for them. Places look a lot better, and they got a lot of their junk and trash hauled away that they had no way of getting rid of. So it was a great day. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank you if you brought clothes and donated clothes. I want to thank you if you helped over the past few weeks with the run-up to this thing, with organizing the clothes and getting all that done. I want to thank you if you helped Friday afternoon getting Smith Hall set up. And then yesterday, you know, if you helped in any way, if you, you know, used your vehicles, your tools, your time, you know, we're just immensely grateful. It was a good day, and I appreciate what everybody did. And if you have, I think I've got all the receipts for people who bought supplies and stuff, but if I'm missing any, if you got any receipts you need to be reimbursed for, catch me after church and give them to me, and I'll see that that we get you reimbursed. Thanks.
We are glad that everyone is here today. We would like to give a special welcome to our guests. If you're a guest, if you'd please raise your hand, we have ushers coming down the aisle that will give you a packet of information on our story. It also has a letter from Raymond and a current newsletter. Now I'd like to... Oh, okay. Now I'd like to welcome Taylor Jones up to share us with the invitation to share in worship.
Hope you all are doing good this morning. I now invite you to join me for the invitation to share in worship. This is a responsive reading, and I'll be reading the light print if you'll read the dark. And I now ask if you could please stand. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
His love endures forever.
Who by his understanding made the heavens.
His love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters.
His love endures forever.
Who made the great lights.
His love endures forever.
The sun to govern the day.
His love endures forever.
The moon and stars to govern the night.
His love endures forever.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this amazing day you've given us. Thank you for giving the youth this awesome opportunity to lead the church in worship. We invite you into this place and ask for you to fill our hearts with your love. God, please be with us youth as we continue the service. Thank you again for all you've done. We love you so, so much. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen.
Trust and never doubt, Jesus will surely bring you out. preacher's tolls and snares that he has brought me out. He is my God, and I'll serve him. Trust and never doubt, Jesus will surely bring you out. He never failed me yet.
Didn't my God deliver Moses from King Pharaoh? And didn't he cool the fiery furnace for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? When I think of what my God can do, he delivered Daniel, I knew he will deliver you.
Trust.
Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22-33. Please don't follow along in your Bibles because I'm reading from a different version than you have. This is the NAV, or New Abaco version. For those of you who aren't laughing hysterically, Abaco was the name of the island that we stayed on. Yeah. All right. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the canoe that the disciples were in was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said.
It's a ghost! Or a shark.
And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid."
"Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid."
"Lord, if it's you," Peter replied.
"Lord, if it's you,
tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said.
"Come."
So Peter got down out of the canoe, got into his red kayak, kayaked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. He began to sink. He cried out. No, I don't need any help.
I don't need any help.
I can get out by myself.
I can do it by myself.
He continued to drown. And eventually, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said.
You of little faith.
Why did you doubt?
Why did you doubt?
And when they climbed back into the canoe, the wind died down. Then those who were in the canoe worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Truly, truly, you are the Son of God.
I know.
So, Ryan, what was the point of that skit?
Well, this skit was based off of an event that took place in the Bahamas. And this event involved Marcus, a red kayak, and a whole lot of water that wound up in the red kayak. And Marcus refused any and all help in getting back to shore, getting himself and the kayak back to shore. And that night we did this skit for our devotion. The point of it was that we need to be willing to accept help from God's children when we need it. Thank you.
As U-Turn is coming to prepare for worship and singing, we want you to know we're doing things a little bit different this morning, if you haven't already figured that out. We have the words here. Some of these songs will be unfamiliar to you. We tried to put them over here that you're able to see them and sing along with us. And we want you to do that. These are great songs of worship, and we appreciate you letting the youth come and lead. And we invite you to stand now as we sing Your Grace is Enough.
Thank you. didn't actually go on the Bahamas trip. This shirt I'm wearing was borrowed from one of my fellow youth group. And, you know, at first I was so jealous of everyone who was going. They got to go to a really pretty country where they could vacation. But, you know, we've already proved that wrong. Youth camp last year, abruptly changing the subject. In the middle of the week, we got a spiritual gifts survey, like the one we got last week. I finished mine. My top three were mercy, administration, and missionary. Now, my friend who's sitting next to me said that she could see me as a missionary. I kept thinking about that the rest of the night and the whole of the next day. And by the end of that day, I was absolutely certain that God was calling me to be a missionary. So I had lately expressed an interest in being a psychiatrist, and I thought that I'd be giving up that dream. When I talked to a few people, they said that God can use my dreams and my hopes in his plan, and he put them in me for that reason. So I thought that I could be using starting on this great new journey by going on this trip, and I thought that I was mature enough to take this, and I started to think some pretty bad thoughts about some people who were going. But I realized that I was so immature just by thinking those. So, and I know that I'll have my chance. Some of my jealousy was overcome by the youth meetings before the trip when we talked about how we as the middle schoolers can still be part of the group even though we're not going. We can pray and encourage and pray some more and provide supplies and everything. On the Sunday of spring break, there were only four of us sitting down there in those three rows. It was kind of lonely. But we still got to enjoy it. But we were well rewarded by all of our not complaining, by the pictures and the funny stories, and for me specifically, seeing Ryan dance. No, you should see what it was like when the first time we saw it. So no matter how I felt or how the rest of the middle schoolers felt, I know that we don't have to leave anywhere to do God's work. Just use his plans for us right at home. So that thought was an action when the rest of the group went to the Bahamas trip and we got left behind.
If all the kids would please come down for children's time. The puppet team has a special message to send to us, if y'all would please watch and pay attention.
Hey, Abby.
Ah, who are you and what do you want?
Abby, settle down. It's me, Kelly.
Oh, hi, Kelly.
I'm over here, Abby.
Oh, hi.
So why are you blindfolded?
I'm trying to walk by faith.
What does that have to do with being blindfolded?
Well, I remember reading in my Bible that Christians are to walk by faith and not by sight. So I figured I'd try it out.
I don't think that's what the verse meant.
Why not?
Well, do the youth have faith?
Of course they do.
Are they wearing blindfolds?
I don't know. I can't see them.
Okay. Have you ever seen the youth wear blindfolds?
No, I guess not. But Kelly, I'm confused. If that's not what the verse meant, then how do I walk by faith?
Well, let's see if we can figure that out.
Okay.
All right. In Hebrews 11:1, Paul said that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
I don't get it.
Okay. Let's say Mr. Jeff told the youth they were going on a mission trip. Are they going?
Of course they are.
How do you know that?
Because Mr. Jeff promised that they would go.
but they have to have faith in Mr. Jeff's promise.
Oh, I see. But what does that mean with walking with faith?
Well, when Paul wrote that we should walk by faith, he meant that even through situations that sometimes seemed impossible, we don't have to worry because God has promised that he would bring us through. So we can walk by faith in God and not just by what we see.
Oh, so no matter how impossible something may seem, I can have faith that God is able to do it, and he will.
Yes, Abby. And you don't need a blindfold to walk by faith. You just have to trust God.
That sounds a lot easier. Kelly, can you do me a little favor?
Sure, I guess.
Can you help me out with this blindfold?
Oh, sure.
Wow, that's much better. Thanks, Kelly.
You're welcome, Abby.
Bye.
I did go to the Bahamas. We left for the Bahamas on Saturday, March 29th, 2008. In Charlotte, we boarded a plane headed for Nassau. It was my first time flying in one of those big commercial planes, and I had a window seat. So I looked out the window as we took off, and I watched the cars and the houses and finally even the land grow smaller and smaller until they were obscured by a curtain of pure white as we passed through the clouds. So suddenly we rose above the clouds, and I saw the most beautiful thing I had ever seen in my life. It was the clouds formed what looked like an endless floor of white fluff. But from time to time, there were holes in the floor, and that showed parts of the ocean. I wrote in my journal that the ocean looked so much like the sky that I could hardly tell them apart, except for the sun sparkling off of patches of what seemed like a blue carpet, with the texture of one of those giant parachutes you wave in kindergarten. It was mesmerizing. I hardly did anything the whole time besides look out the window. After we got to Marsh Harbor, a school bus came to pick us up, and it took us through a long, windy, bumpy road through what looked like the set of Jurassic Park. And when we reached Camp Abaco, the director said, "No, you did not die and go to heaven. This is just Camp Abaco." And I gave a forced laugh like you guys just did, thinking, yeah, right, it's going to be some run-down, dilapidated dump. But I don't believe I've ever been proven more wrong than I was on that occasion. What I had seen from the airplane paled in comparison to what I saw each morning when I woke up. Everyone, close your eyes for just a second. I want you to try to visualize this. Picture a palm tree. All right, its branches are swaying gently with a cool breeze that rustles through its leaves. About 20 feet away, you see the water. You sit down on a rock on the small beach between the tree and the water. It's still dark, but as you look out towards the horizon, the sky begins to get lighter. Then you see it. The sun, slowly but surely, is rising, bringing with it the most beautiful assortment of reds and purples you can imagine reflected in the clouds. As it rises, the water begins to sparkle. Gradually, more and more of the water starts shining until it hurts to look anywhere near the sun because both the water and the clouds are so perfectly reflecting its light. And throughout all of this, the only sign of civilization is the silhouette of some buildings on the far off shore. Now, open your eyes and look back at me. I look kind of disappointing now, don't I? Now, but I found a passage in the Bible that relates to this. It's Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run its course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. All right, so the heavens declare the glory of God. Wait, the heavens are the glory of God? The heavens show God. No, everything that I described was created to try to demonstrate a fraction of God's glory. It was not put there just to be pretty. It was not even meant to show all that God can do, because all that God can do would just overwhelm our minds. Everything that we see in nature exists to remind us of a tiny proportion, of a minuscule amount, of a really small fraction of who God is. Think about what that means for how much he can do for us, for how much he loves us, and for how much we ought to be willing to do for him. If there were no other reason for serving God, this would still be enough, even if he hadn't given up all of this glory to come to earth. But he did. Even if he didn't endure beating, persecution, and even the death of a criminal for us, but he did. Even if he didn't love us with a love we can't even begin to imagine, but he does. With that in mind, how can any of us choose to not show others his love every day? Don't be afraid to tell others about him. Pass your shell.
Today I'll be reading from 1 Chronicles 16, 8 through 12. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders of his done, his miracles and his judgment he pronounced. Now from 23 and 24. Sing the Lord, all of the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. Thank you.
Please stand. We're going to sing Glorious One. This song is a beautiful, beautiful song to God. I just ask that you sing it. The chorus goes, Glorious One, light of the world, you outshine the sun. Just think about what Ryan said and the beauty of what God created. So sing with us.
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and allowing us to come together to worship you. Thank you for a church who supports its youth and allows them to lead in worship. Thank you for this church who has supported and given us the opportunity to reach out to those in a foreign country. We know that you are with us as we traveled and experienced a different culture. Thank you for showing us how blessed we are by letting us meet those less fortunate. Thank you for these gifts as well as the givers. Bless these gifts that we may use them to better serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 34, 1 through 8. I invite you to turn to your Bible or follow along on page 396 in the Pew Bible. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. The poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
Good morning. So this trip was great. I mean, it was fabulous in terms of, you know, experiencing new things, in terms of, you know, seeing just, you know, God's awesome creation. It was great as a bonding thing. But it was definitely a trip where I think everybody kind of grew, you know, in one way or another. And for me, it was a week full of having to step out of my comfort zone. It's always been one of those things that I've struggled with. I have a hard time talking to people that I don't really know that well, which kind of poses a problem when you're supposed to be going and telling others about Jesus and you don't know them. You know, I'd expressed this to a couple of the chaperones earlier in the week, and the Sunday after we got there, we went to Friendship Tabernacle for church and everything, and it was, you know, it was a great service. They were just lively and full of God and everything. It was so cool. But the youth were coming back to Camp Abaco with us, and we were all going to hang out for a few hours. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. All right. But we go to line up for lunch, and they start pairing us off with people, you know, from our group. We pair up with someone from Friendship Tabernacle. And I got stuck with a 9-year-old girl and a 12-year-old girl. I got two. Go figure that, you know, I'm the one that has a hard time speaking to anybody, and I get stuck with two people. And it freaks me out. It freaked me out. Even if, you know, they're like, you know, just a little bit older than my brother. But, you know, so, you know, I'm trying to ask questions, trying to, you know, so what's it like living here? You know, and they're just kind of looking at me like I'm kind of stupid. Then they go to whispering to themselves, you know, and whispering with one another. And I'm just kind of sitting there on the opposite side of the table going, oh, this is the worst thing ever. I cannot believe that they did this to me, you know. So we all got finished eating, and everyone went outside to hang out and kind of play volleyball and stuff like that. And I went over to Miss Phillips and went over to Raymond, and I'm like, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. And I remember Raymond telling me, well, you just have to jump in the water. I'm like, Raymond, I jumped and I'm drowning. Okay, this is not going to work. So but I went outside, you know, they're like, well, just go and, you know, socialize with everyone else. And for a second, it was kind of awkward. But then I ended up playing volleyball with everybody, and that was so much fun, you know. And then you get to talk to Ray J and everyone else. And I came to the realization that it wasn't so bad, you know, so long as I was out of my comfort zone, but it helps when I have a little help to make me feel better. I learned that I can't necessarily always do it by myself because it freaks me out, but if I have one or two other people there, it makes me so much more comfortable, and it helps me go out there on a limb and do that thing which makes me uncomfortable. You know, so by the end of the day, we're hanging out in a group trading, you know, Krispy Kreme donuts for Vitamalt, which was a big mistake. It was very nasty. You know, and just It's like we had been friends for years. It was great. So Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding." If I sat there the whole time and said, "I cannot do this, it freaks me out, I'm not going to do it," then, you know, if everyone did stuff like that, we would be absolutely nowhere in our faith, in our witness. You know, we would not be reaching out to anybody, and that's bad because that's what we're supposed to be doing. So you have to remember to trust in God, and that, you know, you have to remember that He's going to give you the strength to, you know, go out and step out of that comfort zone. And, you know, and I think for me, He knows that I'm not going to be comfortable with that. So I really think that He gives you things outside of that comfort zone that's going to make you more comfortable so that you can do what you need to do to live out your faith and to tell it to others. So that's what I learned this week when I went to the Bahamas.
Good morning. It's such a pleasure to have all of you here this morning as we share in worship and get to tell you stories about the trip that we had. And I hope that you've really been blessed by the stories that you've heard from Rachel and Ryan and Melissa. This morning I'm going to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asked you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. I'm going to tell you a little bit about some people that I met on my trip. The first one was we went to Friendship Tabernacle Church Sunday morning. And as we were leaving the service, I saw this little tiny girl. I think she was about 2. And I looked at her and she saw me and I smiled and her face just lit up. And she reached out her arms and she walked up to me and I bent down and she just put her arms around my neck and just hugged me. I have no idea who she was. Her mother told me her name was Faith, which I just thought was a beautiful thing. I had no idea who this little girl was, but she reached out her arms and just gave me that hug, and that was so significant to me. So the second person that I want to tell you about is Ryan and I and Amber went to an old folks' home one day, and there was a woman there that we got to speak to, a wonderful old lady, except for she was deaf. The lady was deaf, and so Barbie said, okay, we're going to go talk to these people, just, you know, ask them if they want to pray with you, if they want to read the scripture, and so we go in there, and we're like, hi, and she's like, and we're like, hi, and she's like, oh, hello. So we're having this conversation, and Ryan and I are looking at each other. We wanted her to read to us what she'd been reading in the Bible that morning. She was talking about a devotion she had been doing. And I kept saying, will you read it to us? Will you read it to us? And she's looking at me, and she just didn't get it, and she just smiled, and Ryan and I are just laughing at each other. And finally, she got it. And what she read was the passage of Scripture that Carson read to you this morning. And the coolest thing was that as she began to read, Ryan looked at me, and we both just got these huge smiles on our face. And it was like at that moment, there was just this feeling of just like peace and of God being there, and it was so cool. Okay, and the third person I want to tell you about is we went to a high school, S.T. Boodle High School. It was the first high school we went to. We were a little apprehensive. We had to do this program. We were going to stand up in front of all of these kids who had no idea who we were. And Melissa and I get up there to sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart. And Jeff had said that he had heard that song on the radio, so that song sounded like a pretty good idea. These kids would probably know it. And we get up there and we're singing and I'm going, oh my gosh, no one's paying attention. No one knows the words. And I'm thinking, okay, God, what are you doing? And I look over to my right and I see this little girl. She's about 8 years old, just belting it out. She's just smiling and she's swinging and she's clapping her hands. And I said, there you are, God, there you are. So what was so cool in that to me was that I looked at her and she looked at me. And again, huge grin on her face. And just this cool connection that we had. So what is it that all three of these stories have in common? Let's go back to the verse. It says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. First thing when you get up in the morning, God, thank you for waking me up this morning. Good morning. Keeping Christ first in everything you do and starting your day first with Him. And then it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. So what these stories have in common is that in each one of these stories, I was able to smile at someone, and the smile was what communicated the love of Christ. The first little girl, I didn't speak to her at all. We both spoke English, but I didn't have to speak to her because I was able to smile at her, and that was our common language. She showed me Christ through her smile. The same thing with the elderly lady who couldn't hear what we were asking her to do. Ryan and I were able to smile at each other, and we totally got it. He's smiling at me right now. And then the third little girl, when we were singing that song, such an affirmation that God is always present. And so also we're born with the ability to smile. It's an innate habit that we just have. You don't have to learn. Blind children know how to smile. It's just something that you know how to do. But what was so cool to me is to look at this, and it's not just the muscles in your face. It's not just that you know how to do it, but it's that common language. It's something that God gives us. It's the light of Christ in your face. It's a reflection of His love being in your heart. So what God taught me while we were in the Bahamas is that in everything, profess Him as Lord. Smile at everyone. Share that passion and that love just through smiling at somebody. And that's what He calls us to do.
I have the best job in the world. And it's pretty clear when we see our young people that are taking leadership roles that, you know, I like getting a paycheck and all, but I could do this for free. I'm not going to, but I could do this for free. Because when we have the opportunity to see our young people to lead like this, it's a challenge to all of us. It's a challenge to me. You know, we all have the T-shirts that you see in front of you. Each day we were in the Bahamas, we made our own T-shirts. We brought blue, gray, and red T-shirts, and the night before we were to wear them, we designed our own. And this is the shirt that I had from the last day. And there's a whole long story that we're gonna do a full presentation of the Bahamas trip in a couple of weeks. But this shirt. Really kind of summed up my week. The Bahamas, they act a little bit differently than we do in the United States. We start planning for things months and weeks in advance. We have to have everything lined out and who's going to do what and what's going to happen. Well, the morning that we got, or the afternoon we got to the Bahamas, I learned that they had started planning for us just the Sunday before we came. Oh my goodness. I have 22 people here that I'm responsible for. And oh my gosh, and what are we going to do? And my brain just started, oh, it was that's exactly what was happening in my head. I didn't know what to do. And so I was like, okay, God, you got this. Every time that I got worried about this trip, from the barbecue supper back in December to the dinner and a show to every time at this trip, when I got worried, God always came through. When I began to say, I've got to have everything figured out. Before I come to God, I've got to have everything figured out. Say, God, I've got everything figured out. Now, can you bless it? That's what I wanted to do. God, I've got my life planned out. Don't we all do that? We've got in our heads, we've got it all figured out. I certainly did. But God, every time, said, Jeff, I've got your back. Trust me. Just trust me. And do what I ask. And everything's going to be all right. You see these young people all morning long. It's been one long sermon from the very beginning to this invitation. It's up to all of us to live out our faith wherever we are. Don't make your own plans. Don't make my own plans. God's got something so much infinitely better if we would just trust Him. He wants us to pass our shell. That's kind of been the theme. You know, we went to the Bahamas and the beautiful beach that we stayed on. We have beautiful shells that we'd like to give to you as you leave the service today. At any of the doors, there are shells that you can pick up. We want to give this back to you as a gift for thanking the church for helping us make this trip possible. Not only that, but we want you to be mindful that the moment that you step out that door, you are on the mission field. I'm not just talking about Raymond and Mary and Jason and the staff. I'm talking about you and I. As we leave, we're on the mission field. We have people who are hurting and dying everywhere we go. And the invitation is, are you ready to pass your shell, to tell your story about the amazing love that God has for us? U-Turn is going to come to prepare for the next song. The song is called Hosanna. It's a beautiful song of worship. And we're going to open the altar here to whatever you need to happen God wants to work in your heart and in your life. But it's up to us to whether we let him work or not. That's always the choice that we have. God, I'm listening. Okay, God, I'm ready. So I will wonder what decisions need to be made, what things need to happen. You've seen these young people tell their story and encouraging you to tell your story. I pray that God will put somebody on your heart that you need to reach out and speak to tell about his love. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. It is beautiful not only because of the weather, but because you created it. You gave us this day. It is a gift. We are not promised tomorrow. We are promised this moment. We are only given right now. Remind us, Father, that everywhere we turn, there are people that need to hear your love. And first of all, it's us. And we need to believe on it. Believe that it's the most important thing, that 100 years from now, the only thing that will matter is our relationship with Christ. Not our work, not how much money we made, not what sports we played, not what people gave to us or we gave to people. It's about the love of Christ. Help us to make a decision today. As we leave, that we're going to pass our shell wherever we go. We thank you. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you for your patience and your letting us come to lead you in worship this day. We invite you to come back tonight. Our youth will be leading us in the games of life for the life service. And we thank you once again. Again, we invite you to grab a shell as you leave. And I want to say a big thank you to College Park. A thank you to all the people that work with our youth on a regular basis, for the prayer partners, to the people who pray for us, that give money. We are very thankful for all that you do. We will have a report, a full report for this trip later in May, and so on a Wednesday night. So we hope you come to be a part of that. Tyler Lee is going to close us.
Actually, I had this prayer written down on a sheet of paper, but I can't find it. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for letting us come here today. Thank you for letting us enjoy ourselves in your presence. Thank you for letting the youth share testimonies and how they enjoy the trip. Let us have a blessed evening. And for those who can come back this evening, come back. And amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.